The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Welcome to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to Truth Transforms. Join in for spiritually enlightening discussion and the practical application of new thought principles. Here's your host, Reverend Galen McDowell.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Reverend Galen McDowell. I am the executive minister, senior assistant minister, and the director of the Johnny Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, Illinois, where the Reverend Dr. Derrick B. Wells is the senior minister and the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman is the founder. I'm in the midst of having some truth conversations with people who are experts in different subjects so we can get all the information we need to live a better life, to live a better life along all the aspects of life, not just, you know, going about being successful in one area, but we want to make sure that we have the skills, the tools, the techniques, and the support to live a better life in every area that we want to improve in. So today I'm bringing on a friend, a really good friend, and a person that I also work with who helps people get better. She wears many hats, but we're going to be talking today about her relationship program. So today I have as a guest on Truth Transforms, Miss Christine Burkett. How you doing there, Christine?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right, well, thank you, thank you. Before we get started and we get into your program, because we're going to be talking about your relationship program and app, the 5 F's to Love, I want to give people an opportunity to know who you are. So who is Christine Burkett, and what do you do for a living?
Well, Christine Burkett is the CEO of Promising Integrations Consulting Firm, which is a Black-owned female IT consulting firm located in Detroit, Michigan. We work with school districts as well as large to mid-sized companies with software integration, cybersecurity, risk management, all the way into wiring and networking buildings. So on the flip side, I would say that I'm an IT geek. But I have a lot of fun at it.
It's okay to, you know, because, you know, as one of my favorite shows is actually The Big Bang Theory. And sometimes you know, I didn't watch it when it was actually on TV, but, you know, I bumped into it now on syndication. And I was like, I love this show. So it's okay with being a geek. It's okay. You know, it's about getting the job done when it's all said and done. So
it is. And I absolutely love it. And that's one of my favorite shows as well.
Yeah. I was like, where's this Sheldon guy been my whole life? Like, this guy's fabulous. But
yeah.
You know, so to make a long story short, you know, again, I want to talk to you about your program, the 5 F's to Love. And the reason why I want to talk to you about it, because you use your technology background, your research and systems background to work on a program that deals primarily with relationships. So can we drill down a little bit on that and talk a little bit about what that looks like, you know, from a standpoint of why did you create, first of all, how did you come up with the idea about compatibility and relationships?
Well, how I came up with it was just through casual conversations with friends and just talking, and seemingly people would be in relationships for a period of time, and in some way they became incompatible with one another. And I took a scientific approach, and I think it was from, you know, my background and my first life being a chemist. I kept saying there's got to be something behind this. So when you take my background in being a chemist and doing research and data analytics, I was looking at numbers, and I started to research across the country, how many divorces occurred and why they occurred. When you file for divorce, you have to state why. And a lot of it said incompatibility or communication or irreconcilable differences. And so when I did a drill down on that, I began to do focus groups for about a year and a half, 2 years, and just talking to people who were in new relationships or they've been married for 30, 40, 50 years to kind of identify what were the pain points in a relationship that would cause you to have a disagreement or to sway you towards separation. And so from that, I began to put together just common words. And then I narrowed them down to words that start with the letter F. So it wasn't anything I sought out to do. And to be honest with you, it wasn't an app. It wasn't a card game. It wasn't even a podcast. It was just some words on a napkin that I began to ask people to put in chronological order because I found that people have core values, things that are important to them, right? So when you meet somebody, they don't know what's important to you. You have to let them know. So that's how I came up with it, just kind of doing research and listening to the conversations of friends.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. So first of all, what are the five F's?
Well, you know what? If I tell you that, then no one's going to download the app that's available on Apple Store.
Okay. All right. So how do they get the app?
But I will say this to you. So they can go to Apple Store and Google Play and download the app. But I will tell you this, they're all related to relationship questions. So, for example, one of the focus groups I did, and it wasn't even a control environment, it was actually me at a bar hanging out with a couple of my friends. And I asked a friend of mine if he would mind taking these words and placing them in chronological order. Well, he got excited about it and asked other guys to come over. And next thing I know, they're yelling out, hey, this doctor lady can help us with our relationship. Come do this thing on this napkin, right? So everyone who placed their F's in chronological order, I said, well, is your spouse here, your girlfriend, a person you're dating? Because I would need them to compare what you ranked and how you ranked them in order. So they called their wives and their girlfriends, and they came up. So the conversation led to, once we looked at it and I compared them, and the first thing I asked one of the couples is, I said, do you argue over finances? And they said, yeah, all the time. I said, well, finance is his number one and finance is your number nine. They were like, oh, my gosh. I said, so you guys might want to talk about that and how that works in your relationship. I said, the next thing is, do you guys argue a lot about faith or church? She says, yeah, every Friday we get into arguments about him going to church with me. I said, yeah, because faith is your number one and faith is his number seven. So what it did was it really gives you a quick assessment of what's important to you and your core values in your life. So I just gave away two F's.
Okay. I won't have you give off. So you got two already, audience. So let's make sure that you can go and get the rest of them later. But I want to stop and drill down a little bit before I get to some of the other questions that I do have written down, because I want to deal specifically around relationships and money. Because as a minister, one of the things I know is the overwhelming majority of issues that come along with divorce really revolves a lot around communication and habits concerning money. People have different communication styles. Mm-hmm. They have different spending habits. Money means different things to different people in marriage, in relationships. And it's one thing when you're dating someone. It's another thing when you're cohabitating with someone and you have the responsibility of taking care of the bills together. So when you were doing your drill down research, could you give us a little bit more insights about how people deal with living with someone who does not share your money habits or perspectives?
Well, I'm going to tell you communication, finance, and sex are the number three. They're one, two, three reasons why people get divorced. Finance seems to be the sticky point. It's basically, and I always say to people, you look at it as a merger of different companies, right? And you have to look at whether or not that merger is going to be profitable. Well, that's based on assets, investments, and spending, which is revenue driven. So it's really hard sometimes to have those conversations. So what I did was, beyond the app, I created a card game with over 10 categories. And one of the categories are finance questions. And it does help you start to ask questions. Like, for example, how would you rate your FICO score? Is it on point? Is it maturing? Is it room to grow? Or is it in the dumps, right? So that's a fun way of saying, do you have a really good credit score, right? What are we going to have to do to make this work? Another common thing is when you with someone, they use credit cards a lot, and you don't know that. So they may have several credit cards and managing multiple balances of over $5,000 a month on each credit card. Well, that's a huge debt to incur when you're marrying someone, right? So those are major conversations that you would want to have. And I'm going to tell you, one of our first podcasts that we had on 5 F's to Love, it was a new couple, they got married, and she communicated very effectively. I didn't want to discuss my finances with him. I was in love with him, but I didn't want to share my financial information. So that is like a root cause of a major issue that could bud. We also have people who are in relationships who, even though they're married, they still have separate accounts. They just say, how much is the telephone bill? I'll give you that money. How much is the utilities? I'll give you that money, right? But you still don't share or intermingle your finances. The end result to that is if something happens to that person, you have no idea what you're about to incur. And that end result could be major. So I've seen situations even during divorce, they didn't know how much debt the person had incurred, how much property they owned, investments they had, and it turned into a much larger picture that they had even conceptualized, right? And I'm sure you run into that when you're counseling. The finance issue. So,
yes. Yeah,
it becomes a major issue, and it is one of the number one reasons. So we're hoping that the financial questions in this card game will help you open up that conversation in a much more easier way.
So if people, first of all, let them know how they can get the app in the card game and how they can listen to your podcast. I want to get that out of the way really early so I can get back to the questions.
Okay, so let me start with the app itself. You can download the app on Apple Store and Google Play. And the podcast you can find in iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, YouTube, Google Breaker, Podcast Caster, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Radio Public. And there's a few more. So if you Google us, a lot of them should come up. The card game will be in storage just in time for Christmas. So we're shipping out to Target, Walmart, Amazon, and you can also purchase from the 5 F's to Love website. And you can pre-order on the website starting Friday. So,
okay. What's the website address?
The website address is the5f.com.
You dropped for a second. Could you repeat it, please?
Uh-huh. The5f2love.com.
Okay, and when it's the 5 F's, it's like the 5F, literally the word, the letter F, fstolove.com, correct?
That is correct. Or you can always Google Christine Burkett and it should come up that way as well.
All right. Sounds like a plan. So I do want to go back for a moment with the relationships and finances. And I want to give, hold on just for a second here. We have some, I'm trying to see here. I do want to go back for a moment to the conversation around how important money is for relationships. One of my cousins, she sells insurance, and she speaks about a lot about dealing with people, couples, somebody makes their transition. We're going to have to pause it for a second because I got a caller coming in, but I'm coming back to this question, Christine, because this is some interaction that she and I recently had, and I was giving her a church perspective of how it lands on from the church side, relationship-wise,
yeah. And
how it lands on her side as an insurance agent. But hold on for one moment. Stan, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh, great, great. This is Dr. Stanley Robertson. He was on my show last week. Dr. Stan, you have a question for Christine?
Yeah, Christine, you're doing a great job. I wanted to just ask a real quick question about finances in relationships. You were saying that people ought to have sort of combine their finances together. Now, do you feel that, number one, when people are in a relationship, different relationships might require a different setup? In other words, maybe there are some relationships that should have separate bank accounts and some relationships that combine them. And then the second part of that question is, should you, each person, have a secret account? In other words, should I have some money? Should I have some money? Should my wife have some money that is set aside just for her? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, Sam, thanks. First, thank you so much for welcoming me onto the show, and thank you for the question. So a couple things. In finance, I do believe that there should be a joint account, but also separate accounts, right? So there should be a joint household account where everyone contributes to. And that could be a certain percentage of what your salary is, a certain percentage of what's needed, right? And it's so funny, Sam, because I just had this on my podcast last week, and just to let you know, I'm a true believer in the secret accounts. I was basically ostracized on my own podcast by my guest and co-host because I have a secret account, and I said I will maintain that even after I get married. But to go back to your original question, it's very important when you look at your finances that you all come up to a common agreement of how that works. In some households, they do continue to not commingle their funds, but each person's responsible for paying a bill. And I don't know if that's based on who has the higher income or who's basically the person who originally started out with that bill. And again, you're correct. It depends on how you form that relationship. So, for example, if you moved into your spouse's home, then your spouse is already paying the mortgage. The spouse may say to you, I need you to pick up utilities and maybe home insurance or something like that. So you would split the lawn care, the utilities, some of the other things that you need to do in order to maintain your household. But outside of that, you still need to look at your investment portfolio. Are you going to continue to buy stocks? Are you buying stocks? Your insurance policies, your 401k, your IRAs. Those are also major conversations that you still want to have. So I would say look at your relationship, kind of take a closer look at whether or not you want to incur that person's debt by bringing all the funds together, whether you want to help them pay down their debt, because the end result is it can impact you from child support to being able to pay credit cards or pay car notes or whatever. It can impact the marriage in a huge way. So, Santa, I hope I answered your question. And once again, I am in support of having a secret account. I called it a hush account. But it is good to make your partner aware of it. I mean, I do know a situation where one spouse in the relationship was a gambler. And it gotten to the point where they had gone through counseling, gotten them help, but he was still overextending the credit card, spending down the kid's college fund. So the wife had to go create a separate account in order to continue to sustain their way of living. So in that case, it was required. In some other cases, you just want to make sure that you have something without putting a major conversation around it. So I'm okay with that. But again, they also reminded me that you can also do a prenup, which is another conversation when you're getting married. So, Santa, I hope I answered your question.
Yes, and I'm bumping into that more and more now while I'm doing premarital counseling with couples, that people want the prenup. They want it, especially if they've been married already, because they don't want to just go through the sloppiness of separating assets. So I've been bumping into that, but the conversation. And I think this money conversation and relationships, and we're going to get to some other things, particularly the faith, because this is obviously a spiritual show.
yes.
So we might as well deal with it and go there, really go there, is, as I was saying, I was, communicating with my cousin, and she was talking about how people, from the insurance standpoint, are bumping into more GoFundMes because they find out, okay, they pass away, then they found out the husband hasn't been paying an insurance bill or any bills. They didn't know, and now they're stuck in a situation where somebody passes away and now they don't have any money. And I tell people on my end, it's like, yeah. And then they come to the churches and they want the churches to bury their loved ones, their husbands or their parents or whoever they have joint responsibilities with. So I think it's really clear and clean to make sure that whatever needs to be communicated is communicated. Don't leave the people that matter to you and love you in the dark. And if you need to learn how to do that, make sure that you get Christine's 5 F's to Love app so you can get past your money hiccups. We have another caller, Christine. So let me take this next caller.
Okay.
Donald, hey there, Donald. How you doing?
Hello, Reverend McDowell. How are you doing today? And Christine, how are you today?
Doing well.
Great. Thank you for asking.
Christine, I enjoyed your response to the question about the hush account and the different accounts, and some works for, you know, differently. But a great response. I did appreciate that. I don't have an F word, but trust is where I'm going with this. And I just want to know, what's your advice on rebuilding trust, whether it's trust in finance or whatever the situation may be? So I'm going to hang up, as the other caller said, and I'll listen to your response. Thank you.
Thanks for that question. And I will say there is an F for that, and it's fidelity. And fidelity falls across all areas in a relationship. And to your point, it's trust in finance, it's trust in intimacy, it's trust just in just the basic friendship in a relationship that you have with a person. So a couple things. The card game really helps you do deep dive questions. And I mean, really deep dive questions. I mean, to the point where Reverend McDowell just mentioned, what type of health insurance do you have? What type of life insurance do you have? It'll ask you questions like, what do you like intimately? You know, what things do I need to improve on intimately? It'll ask you questions to, what do you, workout questions. So there's basically, to be honest with you, almost 2,000 questions in the card game across 10 different, well, 11 categories, where you can actually have a full blown out in-depth conversation every time you pull a card. So to answer your question, to regain someone's trust in you is really an uphill battle, depending on what you've done to them and how it's impacted them. So think about it from this perspective. It's always best to ask them, how has this impacted you? How do you feel about what has occurred? And they'll let you know the level of severity. So for example, I know people who have been unfaithful to their spouse. To some spouses, they were able to work through it. Why? Because their history growing up did not include infidelity. So therefore, their conceptual idea of it may not have been as impactful as a person who grew up with someone whose spouse or whose father or mother was, you know, cheating on their mom, their dad, right? So the impact to them is a little more severe, because now they're experiencing it as their inner child and not just as an adult. And so you've got to really look at how that situation has impacted that other person. But I will say this, there are relationship questions in the deck that will help you talk through various issues and how your family can impact your relationship. It does ask you, who in your family had the greatest impact on you regarding marriage, love, relationships? So you get a chance to find out, who are these key people, these key roles in their life, who they compare themselves to, that will help you evolve your relationship? Because those are a lot of things that we don't talk about. You just find out later that she's patterning her life after her aunt or her cousin. So that's a great question. Thank you for asking.
Beautiful, beautiful. We have about 3 minutes before the break. And so, you know, I don't want to drill down hard on another question right now. I'm going to just to add to what you were talking about, Christine, because, again, I have to deal with folks when somebody breaks the integrity of a marriage. They normally come looking for a minister or a therapist to help them heal. And mm-hmm. one of the things that does come up is the emotion from a person's personal past. And
yeah.
everybody gives meaning to everything. It's one of the things I'm sure you've heard me say many times, and my listeners have heard me say many yeah. times, that we give meaning to everything. It doesn't have meaning until I give it meaning. So, but we have meanings that we made before we ever engaged in these different relationships. Therefore, some meanings are triggered. They're not just given. So when a situation happens, it triggers something, and it's sort of like pulling a dandelion, a weed out of your lawn, and then all of a sudden you notice that the roots are much longer than you think. So you pull on it, and you think, oh, okay, I can handle this. But then the roots just keep getting longer and longer. Next thing you know, it's connected to stories. It's connected to feelings. Mm-hmm. It's connected to mm-hmm. pain. And you don't even realize it's connected until you yank it. So I think mm-hmm. it's very important for people to recognize as you're dealing with other people that the actions you take could be triggering things that the person that you love might not even be aware of. It's really important.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we have about a minute left. So let me go ahead and give this quick Christ Universal Temple commercial. And let me give the number out again if anybody wants to call in. 816-251-3555. 816-251-3555. You want to call and ask Christine Burkett about her relationship app and card game and podcast, and I'm sure other stuff that's coming down the pike, the five F's to love. We want to make sure that you have an opportunity to ask those questions. I also want to remind you that you can tune in to Christ Universal Temple at www.cutemple.org. You can watch our live stream on that same website on Sundays, 10:30 a.m. Central Time, or on our Facebook page or on our YouTube page, CU Temple. You can watch our Facebook noon daily inspiration lessons on Facebook Live or watch them later on our Christ Universal Temple Facebook page. Obviously, this podcast. And I'll have some more commercial stuff to come up with when we come back from the break. Just a few other quick reminders, but the main one right now I want to state is this Sunday we have our anniversary concert, our sixth. Okay, we're about to go to the commercial. We'll be right back with True Transforms.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to Truth Transforms with your host, Reverend Galen McDowell.
Welcome back to Truth Transforms. I'm interviewing Christine Burkett about her app, card game, and podcast titled The Five F's to Love. Before we go back to the questions, I want to just continue with the commercial that I was giving before the break. This Sunday, we're having our anniversary concert. So the music department will present a fabulous, fabulous musical concert this Sunday, 10:30 a.m. until noon Central Time. Or you can watch it later at your convenience on YouTube or Facebook or on our website. And you want to make sure that you're tuning in. We have a fabulous music ministry, and I think you will get a lot of inspiration from our music, from our singers, from our consciousness. You definitely want to make sure you're tuned in. On October 31st, I'll be wrapping up our anniversary, and I'll be talking about the prosperous community. So you want to make sure that you hear the hardcore metaphysician, Galen McDowell, do what I do. So make sure that you are ready to hear me bring those hardcore metaphysics, you know, because that's what I do. So I want to make sure that you are aware that I'm coming up and I'll be speaking. And the last thing that I did want to bring up is Reverend Wells's Facebook Temple Talks, which is on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Central Time. So just at Derek Wells or at Reverend Derek Wells, and you'll find it on Facebook. So I think that covers all of the commercial stuff that I wanted to cover. Oh, wait a minute. There was one more thing. We have a prayer day on October 30th, which will be in person and online with my friend, the Reverend Shirley Lawson. You definitely want to see Christ Universal Temple's prayer day, which will be coordinated by our prayer ministry director, the Reverend Valerie McGee. All right. So, Christine, let's get back to it. So I want to talk a little bit more about the card game. And specifically what I want to ask you is, because you did an overview of it, but what are the subject mm-hmm. matters or areas covered in the card game?
So there's financial questions. There's questions related to cooking, work, and health. what would you do wild card questions. The trust and dare questions are action questions. It requires you to do something. It's like a truth or dare, but it's called trust or dare. Speaking the same language, that's around whether or not you're compatible in a sense of expectations and outcomes. It's like the nonverbal things. Relationship questions. There's intimacy questions, family questions, and life experience questions. And under life experience is where you will find a lot of questions related to religion or faith. Because we are crossing over and into different relationships, whereas before you would stay within your religion a lot of times, whereas now we're not. So I put a lot of those faith or religion questions in that area under life experiences.
Well, that's actually where I want to go, because as you just stated, people are, as the world got bigger, in other words, we are in communication with more people of different religious beliefs or no religious beliefs. And I believe that a person who is an atheist or agnostic actually has a religious position, but that's not the purpose of this podcast. I really believe that to say there is no God is just as much of a religious position as there is a God. Mm-hmm. You know, when you drill down to it, you can, you know, it's still a theological position. But anyway, I know a couple that ended up divorcing because of their issues around faith, spirituality, and religion. She was a Pentecostal, she is a Pentecostal Christian, and he is an Orthodox Muslim. And, you know, they got married really fast. They were working together, fell in love quickly, got married, didn't think that the religion issue would come up as a problem. But then he had expectations of what a wife and a woman should look like, dress, present herself, talk, etc., concerning, based upon his religion. She had perspectives of how a man and a wife are supposed to interact based upon her Pentecostal Christian beliefs. And then when the conversation came up about potentially having children, how do you raise them? Do you want them to be Muslim or Christian or go to both? And then because of her fundamentalist Christian background as a Pentecostal Christian, then there was the you need to be saved conversation. So how do you tackle those conversations with people? Because, you know, religion can be like touching a hot pot or skillet on a stove. How do you deal with those issues with people and relationships?
Well, that's a great question. I think the first thing is that people should understand, even without religion, you have expectations about what marriage is, how you want to raise your children, your lifestyle. And then when you incorporate your religion, it gives it a different level of need or desire to obtain it, right? So think about it from this perspective. If you're young, religion is vital. Is key to your relationship, is vital. It's the faith that you have. Two reasons. To your point with that couple, if she was dating a person who was a Muslim, then there's an expectation that you look a certain way, right? But did he discuss that during the time that they were dating? Did he treat her as a non-Muslim while they were dating, or did he date her like a wife? If he dated her like a wife, the transition would have been easier. And I say that because there was a time in my 20s where I did date someone of a different faith that did require me to wear a scarf and cover my face. But I realized at that point, after a couple dates, I would not be able to sustain that for a lifestyle. So I had to let that person know, I'm not going to be able to continue this relationship. So what I'm saying is that don't open up the door being something that you're not. If you're totally immersed in your religion and your faith, and that you can breathe and eat every day, you make decisions, then be that person from day one. Don't do what you have to do to get the person that you desire, and then you expect to shift or modify who they are, right? So that way you can have that conversation earlier on. That helped us avoid months of us just kind of pulling at or gnawing at how we were incompatible in a very key point in our life, right? That's like vital. Now, if you get married late in life, like I'm 50, if I get married now, and I married someone of a different religion, we have to have an understanding. Like at this point, obviously I have not worn a scarf all this time. I'm probably not going to transition. Does that mean that on Sundays or Saturdays or Wednesdays, whenever you go to church, I won't go with you? That might mean that. But you need to find out how important is that to you, right? I'm a very non-traditional woman in a sense of I don't do like a lot of cooking. So I'm in my relationship, I'm looking for someone who cooks really well. That's something I would say up front. So I'd say that about religion, your faith. If you want someone that's of the same religion as you, because I'm non-denominational, I call, you know, Unitarian, I'm unity, I'm kind of open. I will listen to what it is that you bring to the table, and if it's not something that's not going to totally stump over or walk over my faith and my beliefs, then I'm open to it, and I've done it. I've dated someone who is Jewish. So, I get it. Catholic. I've dated people from a lot of different faiths. So my thing is you just have to be open and really look at where you're at in life. So that's my only answer to that. I'm quite sure you have a lot more that you can contribute because I'm not a religious person in that sense. I'm not a practicing religious person, but you are. So.
No, I think that it does come up as an issue. And I'm glad that you have this program to stir up questions, because I think the thing about it is, again, just dealing with it from a ministerial perspective, dealing with it from a perspective of a person that has to counsel people and coach people through problems that come up around their faith and relationships, or just in general. What I've discovered is a lot of people don't like accountability questions.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, accountability is probably the main word I've come up with in my interactions with couples over the 20 years I've been a minister. Well, it'd be 19 years, it'd be 20 years. I've been in religions for so long, I tend to forget what year, because I was preaching before I was a minister, and I was a licensed teacher before that. So I've been doing this work really for 25 years. Wow, 25 years. Okay. Anyway, moving right along, as I've noticed that people don't like accountability in life many times. When you start asking people questions, why? People don't like to deal with the why. They want to do what they want to do without necessarily having accountability to anyone. It could be goals, it could be work, it can be marriage. It can be committed relationship. It can be working out in your health or your diet. When accountability questions start to come into play, many people start to get emotional. And I teach people from a metaphysical standpoint that when you get emotional around a particular subject, that shows where your spiritual maturity is still lacking a little bit around that subject. In other words, I start asking you about your faith and what it means to you, and you get reactive and emotional. That means that you lack a certain level of maturity around that subject. And that's great, because now it's come up to be healed. You can either allow the reaction to govern you, or you can say, wow, why am I being triggered around this question? Why am I being triggered around this subject? What do I need to heal in me? So first of all, for myself, and then so I can be the best version of myself for my significant other. So I'm a big believer in dealing with issues around faith and relationships. And I also believe that faith also governs a lot around money, because, say for instance, you have one person in the relationship wants to donate or tithe or support their religious organization. Mm-hmm. Another person doesn't believe in that. Okay, now how do you deal with it? Minister, I tell people, tithe your own money. But you shouldn't necessarily tell your spouse, who is not a part of your church or doesn't believe in that practice, or donating to religious organizations in general, to donate their money, because now you're creating conflict that that will have a. It's hard to resolve something. I'm all for conflict if it resolves what it needs to resolve. The issue comes into play is this is a conflict that doesn't necessarily have an easy resolution if you are stuck in a space that you have to control. To me, the issue is control. So that's actually where I want to go to next. Dealing with relationships and control issues. How do you deal with people who just feel as though that if it's not their way, if they're not controlling the narrative, how a person shows up, how they dress, as you mentioned before with the with the head wrap, and you had to tell the guy, you know, like, hey, I got to keep it moving. that's how I interpreted what you said. You might have probably said it nicer than that.
No.
But in my mind, she was like, nah, dude, you got to keep it moving.
That was good.
I'm too fly. And I said, I know you personally. I was like, that woman ain't going to keep no head wrap on her head. But anyway, and I'm not saying that's a right or wrong thing, you all listeners. I'm saying,
no, I know it was Christine. Designer. It was designer. Yeah, it was a designer head wrap. So you already know that.
It was probably Gucci head wrap. So,
yeah, exactly. Okay, so you know what? I'm gonna take everybody back so you guys can get a really great, a better understanding. So the 5 F's to love brand is actually developed in 3 phases. The first phase is actually the app. The app is a compatibility app that will help you align your core values. The things that matter most in a relationship by ranking words that start with the letter F and placing them in chronological order of importance to you. Once you've completed ranking your top 5 F's in chronological order, you share a link with your spouse or the person you're dating, and you compare your top 5 F's. Now, keep in mind, there's 16 F's, and you're placing them in chronological order. But your core value is around your top 5. This is a quick way and a very innovative way to find out what areas you have in common and what areas you may need to work on. You can use the app as many times as you like to reassess your relationship as you're going through conversations, as you're going through counseling, or as you grow within a relationship. So, for example, if you married for 30 to 40 years, when you married them when you were 20, you're now 50, you're not the same person. So that space or that gap you may be filling in your relationship, you may not know what it is, but you may want to just take a chance and use the app to find out where you need to do your realignment, like a vehicle. Once you drive a car for so long, you need to touch up the realignment, right? And that's basically what the compatibility app is. Now, the card game is phase 2. And so the 5 F's to Love card game is a fun and interactive game allowing players to ask the hard questions while building stronger and healthier relationships for your spouse, your partner, or your long-term relationship, or just starting out. Now, you can use this with a group of people, or you can use it one-on-one or in groups of 4 with couples, and you can play against them to find out, oh, he remembers where we kissed, our first kiss. Another couple may not get it. So it's like it's different versions of the game. So when it comes out, look for the version of the game that you would like to purchase. And I'm telling you, you're going to have a whole bunch of fun with it because the card game is a mindful and nurturing questions ranging from finance to intimacy to relationship to cooking to health questions to trust and dare questions across 10 relationship areas. So the goal of the card game is to strengthen your communication and deepen your connection with your spouse, a partner, a person you're dating, or the person you're looking at spending the rest of your life with. It could be a new relationship. So, again, the card game is for that purpose. Now, the podcast is just a weekly open counseling session that we have, and it's every Friday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can find us on Facebook Live and YouTube and, of course, all of the podcasts for the audio version. But on that podcast, we actually have real conversations. Like this week, we're going to have a conversation. How do you ask the person in your relationship, your spouse or your partner, you want to add something different to your sex life? Sometimes that's a hard question. That's like really hard because you the way you started out, and that may cause some maybe negative responses from your spouse during that time. Like, why are you asking for this? Have you been getting this somewhere else? Why all of a sudden is this coming up, right? So it may not be any of those things. It just means that what you wanted at 20, you now want something different at 50, right? So each of those are different phases. And to your point, we are going to introduce phase 4, which will be a team of relationship experts that you will be able to contact through our website, and that will be coming out in 2022. And of course, Reverend Galen McDowell will be one of those because sometimes you need a religious a marriage counselor versus a non-religious. Sometimes you need a sex therapist. So there's different types of therapists. So we'll have that available on our website in 2022, where you can find multiple different relationship consultants to help you with your marriage obstacles or pain points. So there you go. I hope I explained it a little bit better. And hopefully the questions that you initially started out with, you can address those. So it's hard to ask questions, just as Reverend McDowell mentioned in the beginning. Once you use that compatibility app, it is going to come up that faith is important to you. It may not be important to your spouse or the person you're dating, right? So that's the way to kind of get through that initial conversation. Like, what do you mean? Faith is your number 10.
I'm actually have somebody I know secretly call into your podcast on Friday. I can remember we used to work out many years ago, and you know, without saying any names, you know, I've been a part of, you know, different martial arts schools. So many years ago, I can remember a guy I used to work out with a lot. And so it was a group of us, about 10 guys. We just, you know, finished doing a hardcore workout, and we were just, you know, talking about, you know, guy talk, you know, talk that happens mm-hmm. when there's no ladies around. And that doesn't mean mm-hmm. disrespectful. It just means guys normally right. won't always open up and speak their pure truth without necessarily feeling as though that they're being interpreted a certain kind of way when from a female perspective. So, you know, so mm-hmm. it was just funny because as you were talking, I could still remember this conversation. And this has to be now 15 years ago or more. And he said, man, you know, this woman got me. She was swinging from the chandeliers, and then when he married her, she turned into Betty Crocker. Like, you know, she didn't want to be sexy, didn't want to dress up, and you know, sex drive went way down, and you know, just yes. a real conversation. And what ended up happening yes. in the midst of that honest conversation was every married guy that was in the room mm-hmm. said the exact same thing. Like, she did this to yeah. get me, but she turned into right. that when she got me. And as you talk about coming in, you know, because people play games to get people. Mm-hmm. And then they yeah. don't want to maintain what they did to get people. And I'm not just talking about sex. Yeah. I'm talking about in general. People play games.
Yes.
So I think that what your 5 F's to Love program will do is help people get those harder conversations, but also make people aware when somebody is playing a game or presenting their representative and not their true self, mm-hmm. not how they're really going to interact once you cohabitate with an individual. And Luther Vandross, Whitney Houston, and Teddy Pendergrass music stops playing in the background.
I'm going to tell you, these questions, and again, the card game comes out December 2021, just in time for Christmas. And I'm really excited. I hope everyone purchases it and has a great time with it. But in the intimacy questions, it does ask, how many times a week do you want to have sex with your partner? It asks you, name one thing that you like to try during foreplay. So when I say to you, it goes into a deep dive. It took me 2.5 years to come up with these questions. This is a hard question. Women have a hard time telling their partner, I haven't had an orgasm. And they're thinking, we've been together 3 years. So this entire time you've been faking it? Yes. But listen, we can't continue to do that. So this is what we need to do. We need to figure out what makes me happy sexually. Like, how do we get to that? Right? And so a lot of times it's hard to have that conversation with your partner. Because at this point, like, the only thing you're focused on is, you've been faking it for 3 years. your feelings are crushed. You're not really focused on, but she stayed with you. She's good. But now she wants to experience the same heightened speed sexually that you do, because she just wants to see what it feels like. She wants to get into her. And a lot of times, let me explain this to men. A lot of times women don't know what gives them an orgasm. They have no idea. So sometimes you just got to figure it out together. And a lot of times women just enjoy being with you. It's not about the orgasm. But they know you need to hear them do the ah thing. So it makes them, you know, men feel better about it. But I'm just being honest. That's real talk with women. We talk about
Well, I think the thing about it is religion, I think, sometimes has created religion and old aristocratic beliefs around conversations about sexuality. Religion in my opinion, especially certain religions. They talk so, you know, it's either none or this. So you end up as a, you know, all the conversation around sexual choice, orientation, and all these other things, because religion is so constricted many times around those conversations. What ends up happening is people have to learn, you know, like almost every guy I know, you learn from talking to your homeboys or older male relatives in your family. And that's not always the best way to get sex education. So yet again, I want to make sure that we drill down on this. Because we have about 3 minutes left. So I want to make sure, because if a person tuned in late and they didn't hear where they can go to get this information, could you, again, let people know where they can get the app, where the, how they can get the card when it comes out, your website and podcast information?
Sure. You can download the 5F to Love app at Apple Store or Google Play. You can join us every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, where you can see the audio and video. If audio only, you can join us any podcast platform. And the card game will be in stores December 2021, just in time for Christmas. But I also play it virtually, so you get a chance to play a virtual version of it when you're on the podcast with us. And once a week, I normally put out a virtual card game question for everyone to respond to on Facebook and on YouTube. So, and again, if you can't find the 5Fs to Love, you can also Google Christine Burkett and you will populate the 5Fs to Love brand.
Okay, so we have about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left. If you want to leave people with some information about how to make relationships work, what would you tell them?
I would think the first thing you need to do is be honest about who you are. And I think the best way to do that is to use the compatibility app. It's very important that you identify who you are before you start introducing yourself to anyone else. And a lot of times we don't know that because we haven't ranked the things that are important to us. I often ask people, what are your core values? And they can rarely respond. They take time. Can I call you back on that? So I'll say this to you first. Stop being the person people expect you to be and just be you. And you'll have a better chance of finding your one true love, your soulmate, the person you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with. And I hope the 5F to Love brand can help you do that.
Beautiful, beautiful. So again, with this 1 minute we have left, I just want to thank you for coming on the call. I know that the listeners will get a lot of information and support from your program. So almost everybody that listens to this show has a smartphone. I know I still know a few flip phone folks, but we won't talk about them. And so go on your Google Play or Apple Store or the other places you mentioned, and make sure you download the app. Make sure that you are prepared to go on the website, pre-order the card game. I'm gonna pre-order the card game because anything that can help you get better, you should want. You know, as I can still remember some of the first words I ever heard Johnny Coleman say as we leave. She always used to tell people, we teach people how to live better lives. This program can help you live a better life. So make sure you tune in. We'll be with you next week with Truth Transforms. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Dr. Mona Lisa, and I've been a medical intuitive for over 30 years. Let me help you find new ways to heal physical and emotional problems. Be a part of my Healthy Living Intuitively podcast studio audience every week. Follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mona Lisa fan page, and Instagram, Dr. Mona Lisa 1, to get that information. I answer audience questions, and you can learn from people calling in that might be dealing with the same things that you are. Follow Healthy Living Intuitively, part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network, and wherever you get your podcasts.